I don't know if you can tell or not, but I love evangelism. And I really do hope and pray that the things that we have been learning will be helpful and motivating. The thing is we can have a lot of knowledge about something, but if we're not motivated to use that knowledge, then it's a little bit empty, actually. And so we started off on Sunday night talking about the easiest thing that we could do, the simplest thing that we could do, and that is invite people to church. Simply extend that invitation and do it over and over and over again with as many people as possible, because some people are going to take you up on it. There's going to be a lot of people that maybe won't. There's going to be a lot of people that maybe will promise, but then they don't. And even in that situation, it's been amazing to me, people that maybe I've invited for a long, long time, and they finally show up. Even sometimes when I've almost given up, and just felt like, well, I'm not even sure I should invite them anymore. Here they come. And so you just never know. But there are definitely going to be people that will take you up on that invitation. And once you get them to church, man, then they've got a chance to experience God's people, the conviction of His Holy Spirit, the truth of His Word. It's such a powerful thing to get them here. So never give up on trying to do that. But then last night we talked about the fact that we all have a story, our testimony, the way that we came to know the Lord, our life before we knew Christ, whatever that looked like. The time that we come to understand that we needed Him and we received Him as our Savior, and how that's changed our life. And telling that story is a powerful, powerful thing. And we can do it. You can do it in probably about 3 minutes, really. Once you kind of practice and get yourself used to doing that, you can share that story very, very briefly, even in a conversation that's not going to last very long. And you can springboard off of almost anything. You're talking to somebody and they're telling you about some deep woe that they're going through and experiencing. And you can say, well, I can tell you this, that there was a time in my life, and you can share a deep woe that you had before you knew Jesus. But then I realized that I needed Christ. And I received Him as my Savior. I put my faith and trust in Him. And since that time, I've still had some pretty deep woes, but the difference is Jesus is with me. Before, He wasn't. Now, He is. And if you don't know Christ, I would really encourage you that He's the one that can help you through this. And so the opportunity, you don't have to, always have a big, long presentation. Oftentimes, that story can be told very briefly, but be meaningful. So now, tonight, we're going to turn our attention to some methods that you can use to share your faith, that you can use to tell the gospel story. How can we go about sharing our faith? Well, I want you to understand that there are no shortage of methods. There is all kinds of methods, all kinds of different ways to share your faith, and unique and interesting ways to share your faith. If you just said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to study out all the different ways that you can do it, and then I'm going to start sharing my faith. Well, don't do that, because it would take a long, long time to study out all the different, hundreds and hundreds of different ways that God's people over the years have come up with to share their faith. And you know, most of them are very, very good methods of sharing our faith. But what I'm hoping this will touch on is just some... I'm a simple thinker. I'm not a complicated guy. I'm pretty simple. And so I think if we can have just something simple that's easy for us to remember that we can use in this way, then that's what I'm really hoping for and hoping that will happen for you. But before we get to the specifics of the methods, let me share a few thoughts with you. Number one, there are no silver bullets. So in other words, there's not this one thing or this specific way that you're going to share the gospel, and it's just irresistible. People can't say no. They just, you know, if you can get that in, boy, they're definitely going to. There's nothing like that, all right? And it's funny because some methods, and I won't waste time talking about these methods, but there's some methods that I think people have come up with almost like they're trying to trick somebody into getting saved, you know? It's like, gotcha, you didn't expect that, did you? You got saved before you knew what was happening. Well, no, that's not, you know, we all understand there's a process, right? People have to be convicted about their sin, and they have to be making that choice of their own free will. And so, no, there's not anything like that. But ours is not, we have zero responsibility for anyone's salvation. I am not held responsible for that. I'm only held responsible for telling people about salvation. If I tell people my whole life and no one ever gets saved, I am not going to get to heaven and God say, man, you blew that. Well, I sure wish you'd done a better job. That's not what's going to happen. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You faithfully shared with others, and that's all I expected of you. So the victory is in the obedience of doing this, not in the results. But the good news is that when we, especially as a group, exercise obedience in doing this, we will see results. There are going to be people that come to receive Christ as their Savior. So there's no silver bullets. Number two. Knowing different methods is good. I literally know dozens and dozens of methods that you can utilize to share your faith. And what I like about that is sometimes it seems like in a particular situation that a method that I might not use very often. It's not my go-to. It's not my common way of doing it. But I've learned that method. And in a particular situation, it seems like, boy, this is the best thing to do with this person and their needs. So knowing different methods kind of allows you in different situations with different people to utilize different things. And that could be really, really helpful. But number three, I think what's going to happen if you really get serious about this, what's going to happen is you're going to discover what you're comfortable with. And that's pretty much going to be the path that you follow. You learn different things, and I hope you'll keep learning different things after we're done with the revival this week. But you're going to come to this point where, you know, I like that. That kind of works good with my personality, and I think I can remember that really well. And you'll get comfortable with something, and it'll develop a pattern of the way that you usually will share with others. That's not a bad thing. What you're comfortable with is something that you'll be able to be passionate about and you'll be able to use. And I would just encourage you, learn different ways, practice different ways. And by the way, practice, just like I said with your testimony, you know, you can practice in the mirror, you can practice with your family, you can practice at church. You can do the same thing with these methods. You know, you can sit down and practice. I'm going to do this over and over and over again until I kind of get it in my mind, or I'm going to, you know, bore my wife with this afternoon, doing it for her two or three times. But the real practice is when you do it for the person that you're trying to tell about the Lord. And I promise you that you're going to have times that you're disappointed, that you're going to feel like, oh, I don't think I did a very good job, you know, and you're going to be disappointed. But that's okay. Because that practice, that actual effort of doing it, will be a teacher for you. I should have said this. I should have done that. I wish I hadn't been so negative about that. You're going to think through it after the fact. And by rehearsing those things, you're going to be able to learn and you're going to be able to sharpen your tools and get stronger and stronger and stronger. But then here's the fourth thing before we actually start looking at the methods. And that is that the only wrong way to do it is to not do it at all. Literally, that's the only wrong way. Now you might say, well, Brother Scott, if I'm telling people things that's not the truth, well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, if you're telling the truth as best you can understand it and as best you can get it forward to people, then, listen, God can use your stumbling, bumbling, half-brained, that just seemed terrible. He can use that way more than he can use nothing. You understand? If we commit the sin of silence and just decide, I'm not going to say anything because I don't think I'm very good at that, God can't use that at all, period. There's no way he can use that. But if I try, he can use it. I started going door to door when I was 8 years old. And I had some really good teachers. Quentin Vaughn was an older teenager. He was like 17, 18 years old. And he's the main guy that I went with. And he'd had some good teachers because he was really good. And I went out with him the first time. And we went up and we knocked on this door. And he, you know, did all the stuff that I didn't know anything about and was talking to these people. And we got to the next door and he said, your turn. You know, but I knocked on the door and did the best I could, tried to replicate what I'd heard him say and remember that. And, you know, after about 20 or 30 doors, I was starting to kind of get the hang of it a little bit and understand a little bit. And I remember the first time that I got to be the person to give the gospel. We used to carry around the little Gideon New Testaments, you know, and those were pocket size and we could carry them real easily. And so when we got in this conversation, we'd pull out our Gideon New Testament. And Quentin had taught me this trick that if you can just remember Romans 3:23, then you can write the next verse right after it. And you don't have to remember all the verses, you just have to remember that first one. And so you, okay, here's Romans 3:23, and right there in my cheat notes, there's Romans 5:8. Oh, let's turn over here. And so he taught me things like that. And I remember the first time that I got to be the person that was actually giving the gospel and talking to this person. And I'm telling you, I don't think I could have messed it up any more than I did. It wasn't good. And I get through it. And I say to the man, literally, older gentleman that had invited us into his home, and I say to the man when I get done, you wouldn't want to get saved, would you? That's how I felt about what I'd just done. You know, you wouldn't want to get saved, would you? And he said, yes, I would. And that's the first time I got to lead somebody to Jesus. And I'm addicted. I can't get over it. I just can't. I want to be able to lead people to Christ as much as I can. And I want you to want that too. You don't have to always do it the way that I do it. I'm going to show you some things tonight. Some of them might be like, oh yeah, I really like that. Others, you might say, I don't like any of those. I'm going to have to figure out something else, you know, that I can do. But that's okay. And I'm going to start off and show you one that's not in your notes. Now, most of your packet that I gave you there is these methods. That's most of the pages are about these methods. But I'm going to start off and show you one that's not in there. Several of these are, some people refer to them as napkin evangelism. Because drawing these things out, they're thinking, you know, you're maybe in a restaurant with someone, or you've had someone over to your home for dinner, or you went out to get a coffee together or whatever, and you're grabbing a napkin and you're writing this on the napkin. But in Kenya, it was dirt evangelism. There was lots of dirt, no shortage of dirt. And so we would draw things on the ground a lot when we were talking to people. And my wife, this was one of her absolute favorites. She would draw those five symbols, three arrows, a cross, and a circle. And then she would begin to talk to people, and she ministered mostly to children. And she would say, you know, this first arrow reminds me about Jesus and how he left heaven and came to earth. And the reason he came to earth was to die on the cross. And he died there for you and me and for the sins that we committed. And then they buried him in the tomb, but the third day the stone was rolled away. And he was resurrected from the dead, and he ascended into heaven to be with the Father. But someday he's coming back. If he was to come back today, would you be ready? And that's just a simple way that she would get into conversations. A lot of times with kids, they were everywhere, and they were, you know, willing to talk to you. And so she would draw that over and over and over again in the dirt and witness to those children. One of the illustrations that's in your packet is one called the bridge. And the bridge illustration, you draw basically like two cliffs. And you say to the person, you know, when I do it, I usually say, have you ever heard of the bridge? And they'll say, what bridge? Aren't you glad they ask? Now I get to tell them, you know, what bridge? Well, you see, there's these two cliffs separated by this chasm. And you and me, we're on this side. And God, he's on this side. And this big divide between us was caused by our sin. That's what caused the separation. That's why the divide is there. And the question is, how in the world are you and I going to get to God with that sin standing between us? And God had an answer for that. And God's answer was the cross and Jesus' death for you and me. And I like in your, you can tell I'm a great artist, right? I mean, please don't get distracted by how good my artwork is. I like in the one that I printed out for you, the cross is actually kind of crushing the sin. I like that, you know, it's mushing it down because that's what the cross does to sin. It destroys it. It takes it out of the way. And so, you know, isn't that simple? Amen. That doesn't take very long. It doesn't take a lot of, you know, you could remember that pretty well. And it could be a full-blown conversation. And the more scriptures you learn, you could put all kinds of scripture with that, right? I mean, all along the way, you could write different scriptures down if you knew them and were aware of them and you're having a lengthy conversation. But you don't necessarily have to use any scripture, because just by drawing it out, you gave major portions of the gospel, right? But I like to use with this one, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He and what he did on the cross is the only way that we can get to God. And also, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so, hey, there's only one God, and here we are, and we've got this big divide between us, and there's only one way for us to get to God. And the only way we can get there is through Jesus and what he did. So I like to use those two scriptures, but again, when you put this one on there, you could reuse Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. You know, there's a lot of different ones that you could use. And so if you decide to do it, you can kind of get to know and decide what you think is best for you and what you're trying to do. I think the next one in your packet is do versus done. And do versus done is a really good one to use with a person that thinks religion will save you. And there's There's not as many nowadays, but there's still people out there that really think that because I go to a certain church and follow the precepts that this church teaches, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it to heaven. And you get into conversation with someone that seems to be going along that lines, well, then you can say, have you ever heard of the difference between do and done? And, well, yeah, I know the difference between do and done, but, you know, what are you talking about? Well, you see, people who think that religion saves you or that your own good works saves you, what they're doing is they're depending on do, what I can do. But the reality is the Bible teaches that we should depend on what's already been done. That it says in Titus 3 and verse 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. And so again, these are just, you know, you're having conversations and people are sharing things with you and you're thinking through these things. And, you know, again, you can share that in 1 minute or you can share it in a lengthy format, either way that you want to. Now it's time for Windex. Goodbye. Now listen, you can draw these things out. But you can also, uh-oh, preacher, I'm not as good as you are. It's going away. Okay. Our whiteboard is not cooperating as much as we'd hoped. You know, you can also paint these pictures with words. Am I using the wrong side?
No, you got it.
Okay, good, 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 good. Now I'm stalling because this is taking a while. You can paint those same pictures with words, right? Have you ever heard of the bridge? No, what bridge? Well, just imagine that you and I are at the Grand Canyon. We're standing on this side. And God's on the other side. How in the world can we get across the Grand Canyon to get to God? What would ever bridge that gap? Well, according to the Bible, the cross of Jesus and what He did for us, that's the only way to bridge that gap. So you can paint the picture with words. It doesn't always have to be something that you would draw out. The next one, the next one is the ladder. I think the ladder's a pretty cool one, actually. Same thing. Have you ever heard about the ladder? Or let me tell you about the ladder. And what you do is you draw a ladder. You say, okay, let's imagine that there's this ladder. And you can go up or down on this ladder. And up here is good and heaven. And down here is bad and hell. Now, you and I know that that's not the way it works, but that is the way most people think it works. Most people that have not been introduced to salvation believe that there's some system of good and bad. And if they're good enough, they're going to make it. If they've been too bad, they're not going to make it. Many, many people believe that and are convinced that that's the way it works. And so when you draw this ladder and you put these things down, most people that aren't saved are going to be like, yeah, you know. And then you ask them, well, who do you know or who would you think that had gotten up this ladder, had made it up to here to heaven? Who do you think? And who knows, they might say Mother Teresa, they might say Billy Graham, they might say Charlie Kirk, you know, I don't know. And then you can say, well, that, now who do you think's down on this end? Who went down instead of up? And they might say Hitler. They might say, who knows? You know, you're letting them tell you. So whatever they say is what you write down. And you say, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying there. So then, where would you put yourself on this ladder? You know, if Mother Teresa and Billy Graham were good enough to get to the top and Hitler definitely didn't make it, he's down at the bottom, you know, where would you put yourself on this ladder? And most people are probably going to say somewhere in between there. You know, they perceive these people as really good and these people as really bad, and so they're probably going to put themselves, that says me, by the way. The only thing worse than my art is my penmanship. So they're probably going to put themselves somewhere in the middle. And the best thing for you to do is join them and say, you know what? If I compared myself to these people and to these people, that's probably what I would say too. I would probably say that I'm somewhere in the middle if I compared myself to these people. But can I tell you something important? That's not the way it works. Because Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Charlie Kirk, if they made it, the only way they made it is by the grace of God. Amen. And you can share with them Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's to say, you know, I don't know if these people made it or not, but if they made it, it was only by the grace of God that they made it. And even Hitler, if he had turned to Christ, could have made it by the grace of God. Because the reality is, it's not of works. It's by God's grace. Now, again, that's just a simple little illustration. It's not complex. It doesn't take very long to share it, but, you know, I think most people could relate to it. And a lot of times these things, I mean, if it turns out that by doing this you actually get to lead the person to Christ, that's exciting. But even if all that happens is you cause them to start thinking, that's exciting too. How many people, I want you to think about your life, the last 20 years. How many people have approached you and attempted to share Jesus with you? Now you might say they'd be less likely to do it because they know I go to church, or they, you know, and so, it, you know, my circle of people that know me, sure, okay, I understand. But there really ought to be some situations where a total stranger tried to witness to you, right? There should be. I can tell you over the last 20 years, zero people have tried to witness to me. Zero. Now, maybe I beat them to the punch. I don't know. But, you know, I really think if we asked that question, even if we went out and asked lost people that question, in the last 20 years, how many people have tried to talk to you about Jesus or talk to you about spiritual things? The number would be very low. Very low. And so, that being the case, here's what we've got. We've got a world full of lost people that aren't even being challenged about their thinking. Whatever that thinking is. They're thinking, God's not real and none of this matters. They're thinking, I'm a pretty good person, I'm sure I'll make it. Well, I go to this certain church, so I'm fine. Well, Grandma and Grandpa, you know, they were good Christian people, so, you know, it's kind of a heritage. I'm sure that, you know, I'm going to be okay because I'm sure they made it. And they're thinking something. But if they're not thinking what the Bible says, they're thinking wrong. And if nobody steps forward to challenge their thinking, then they skate straight through from birth to death and end up in hell. And nobody interrupted it anywhere along the lines. God forbid that that could be true about people that rub elbows with you and me. God forbid. And then there's another one that I put in your notes, and it is one that's pretty common that we, you know, talk about quite a bit, and it's the Romans Road. And I would definitely encourage you, if you haven't already, to memorize these verses. You should know these verses. Now, I know that some people memorize things easily, more easily than others. I understand. I kind of have to work at it myself. It doesn't just come real easy to me. But you really should know these verses. And I mean to the point, like, if the pastor said, "Brother so-and-so, would you please quote the Romans Road for us tonight?" You could do it. You could do it. Because if we're taking seriously this responsibility to be a witness, we've got to prepare ourselves. We've got to get ready. And I don't want you witnessing, saying, "Well, I know it says somewhere in there that we're sinners." And especially because these Romans Road scriptures, the vast majority of them are super simple. They're not very long. They're not complex. And I'm pleading with you. Learn these verses. Memorize these verses. Commit them to your heart so that when you have a chance to share, you're ready. Now, I tell you something. Most of us are carrying around these miniature computers in our pocket. And mine has a Bible on it. I don't know if yours does or not, but mine has a Bible on there. But I'm not super good at navigating it real quickly, you know? So if I'm like, "Okay, Romans 3:23, well, hang on just a second. Give me a minute. I'm going to Romans 5. Yeah, I'm not super good at navigating it. So it's okay to quote scripture. That's fine. I do that a lot. But I like to show people, you know, if I had a Bible with me, I like to show them. So what I did, now I use a variation of the Romans Road. I don't use exactly, you know, the common Romans Road, but because I like to put John 3:16 in there. But the verses that I use in my memo app, I've put those in my phone. And if I want to show somebody, I can quote them to them. But if I want to, because I like to say to people, "Could I show you some scriptures?" And I just open up my memo app and boom, there they are. Let's look at this first one. And I take them down through there and show them. So that's, you know, that's something else that you could do, a way that you could do it. But these verses that present the Romans Road are a tried and true method of telling people about Jesus and how to be saved. I mean, this has been around a long, long time. Well, actually, since Paul wrote it in about 50-something A.D. You know, it's been around a long time. Can you imagine? I don't know exactly how all this works as far as getting credit. But can you imagine how many people that guy's going to get credit for coming to Christ? Because of his own life and the ministry that he conducted, and that God used him to write scriptures that are commonly used to lead other people to Christ. Man, what a powerful thing. What an exciting thought. Have you ever thought about the fact that you can quote the Romans Road and it's just like one flowing thought? If you don't say, "Romans 3:23 says, Romans 5:8 says," if you don't do that, if you just say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou wilt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I didn't say all of it, but if you can actually say that as one flowing thought And if you've got it memorized and you're well versed in it, in about a minute, you could give the whole Romans Road, you could give the whole thought. And you could say, hey, I committed something to memory. Could I share it with you? And boom, you just go down through there and give it. There's all kinds of different ways. The problem is not enough ways. The problem is enough of us doing it. That's the problem. And that's what Jesus said, right? In Matthew chapter 9, he said that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's the issue. That's the problem, is not enough of us out there doing the work. So here we are. There's another one. I haven't used this one in a long time. It's called the three circles. And I'm not going to draw it out for you, but if you just sometimes Google that, okay? The three circles. And there's actually a phone app. There's a free phone app that you can download, and it's the three circles. And so when you are using that method, you can just swipe and you go to the next thing and you go to the next thing. So it's like drawing it, but you're just showing them on your phone. There's a lot of great tools. We are not without equipment. We are not without the knowledge of the truth. If we're without, it's only willingness that we're without. Well, Brother Scott, I just don't know how. Okay, that works for a little bit until you learn how. And then that's over, right? I didn't know how, but now I do know how. And so that's over. I can't say that anymore. And I think that most of God's people really do want to share their faith. They know it's important. It's not as if they think that doesn't matter. But if we really, really think that, then some way, somehow, we've got to let God help us get to that place that it's something we can faithfully do. Whatever works best for you. It doesn't even have to seem super smooth, you know. I read a story and now the gentleman's name slips my mind, but it was in England. And this gentleman went around and he simply said to people something like this: I want to encourage you to consider the fact that Jesus died for your sins. I mean, he just abruptly walked up to people. I want you to consider the fact that Jesus died for your sins. And then he'd go to somebody else and say that. And so he walked around his lifetime saying that. And at a particular revival meeting, they were having testimonies. And this lady stood up and she said, "This perfect stranger walked up to me and said, I wish you'd consider the fact that Jesus died for your sins." And I started thinking about it. And I got saved. And then another person in the room popped up and said, "I had the same thing happen to me." And there was like four or five people in that meeting that stood up and said, "Yeah, I think it's the same guy that talked to me." So we can get way too caught up and trying to hope we can do it perfectly and miss the fact that God doesn't need that from us. He just needs our willingness. That's all he needs. He can do it. It's his Holy Spirit's conviction. It's his truth. Amen. He's actually just giving us the privilege of being the vessels through which this truth is shared. So you think about these, you take a look maybe at some others, but find a way that you're comfortable sharing and begin to do it as much as you possibly can. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much your gospel. It's the power. Anyone that will believe, Lord, can be saved. But they've got to hear the gospel. They can't get saved if they don't come to understand the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And somehow, we must help them to hear this truth. And so, Father, I pray that we continue to surrender ourselves to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.